There, last time we spoke about food. Which food do we learn about? There are a lot of things that you eat on the night of the Seder. Seder is all about food. Eat matzah, deraisa. How many kezesim? We'll talk about another time. How many kezesim matzah do you eat lechatchila? Five. There's a grand total of five kezesim of matzah. One for moitzi lechem in aretz. One is for achilas matzah. One for koirech. One is, and two kezesim for the afikoyman, one for the Karban Pesach, and one for the Karban Chagiga. So at the end of the Seder, you have to fill up in your stomach five kezesim of matzah. You have to also have four cups of wine. You put in your stomach maror, how much maror? Two kezesim lechatchila. One kezai is for the mitzvah of achilas maror, another kezai is for korech. Some hold you don't need a whole kezayis for korech, but many amachim they have kezayis for korech, and then we have karpas. So that one we spent the whole shir on. How much karpas lechatchila less than a kezayis? Not everyone agrees with that. Some hold that you lechatchila you should have a kezayis and you should make a bari nefashos on the kezayis. Okay. So okay, what else do we eat? What other foods do we eat? Eggs. Eggs. When do you eat the eggs? So zmachlekes Rav Baruch told me. Some eat the eggs. I never knew this, but most people eat the eggs at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, and some dip the eggs in salt water. Okay, you have to be, and then you have to do it. That's another thing you eat. And some say eat the eggs after, eat the eggs at the beginning of the Seder. You eat the eggs. When do you eat the eggs? Before karpas or after karpas?
The
common way, those who do eat eggs, the Ramah says that some there are what is it miksas anashim yesh nehagim to eat eggs dipped in, it says dipping in salt water. He says Ramah doesn't say dipping. Okay, but many they dip it in salt. The minhag to dip the eggs in salt water when. Before, the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Some, it's quoted from the Sefer HaToidah, who do it in the beginning of the Seder, after Kiddush. I don't know when exactly. Does that mean you do it before Karpas? No. What?
Sefer Taidah just said to use a fork when you eat the egg.
Yeah. Okay, so who quoted this? So you mentioned to me that some holy, you do this, you eat the eggs before Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, then you have to make a
book. What? He says before Shulchan Aruch?
It talks about the beginning of the Seder.
I can't hear. The common minhag is to eat the eggs the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. But I believe you mentioned that some hold that the eggs are eaten before Shulchan Aruch. No, okay, fine. That's fine. Okay, so that's another thing that people that we put into our we eat. Okay, then you eat Shulchan Aruch. You have to have Shulchan Aruch also. You have to have a Shulchan Aruch. And then there's one more thing that we did not yet discuss. Oh, we did discuss. I told you. And it is Moror. We eat Moror. What is Moror? Okay, just run through some of the basic principles. What exactly? Let me just mute this. What is maror? So it's Shulchan, and the Gemara tells us there are five different items that one can use as maror. One is called chazeres, one is tamcha, and then is ulshin. The other two, I don't remember, I don't have in front of me, but we don't even know what they are. Ulshin we assume to mean endives. What are endives? I don't even know what they are. Anyone? Does anyone eat endives here?
I don't advise it.
Endives are problematic.
Bugs?
No. It could be growing in water.
Could be what?
Growing in water,
hydroponics.
Yeah.
But everything could be growing. They used to have the
they're very prevalent there.
Hydroponics.
So you have to find out how
that it's not hydroponics.
If it's good, it's very good. I ate them one year. It's very, very good.
Okay.
There's no bugs. But you have to find out if
it's not hydroponics. And even if it's hydroponics, who says it's no good? Okay, fine, okay. Now, however, okay, now there's a big dilemma, there's a list. Okay, everybody's it's a list. The Gemara gives a list. And the first one on the list is chazeres. The second one on the list is tamcha. The third one on the list is Ulshin. And then there are two more. And this big dilemma amongst the Rishonim is, when there's a list, is there a preference to eat the first one on the list? Or if you can't have the first, is there a preference of eating the second over the third? Okay, so it seems that there is, or maybe not. Let's discuss this. The Gemara, however, explicitly states, forget about, you know, going down 2, 3, 4, 5, that the best thing is chazeres. And it's Shulchan Aruch that's brought down, Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, that a person should strive, should seek out chazeres.
That's the first one listed?
That's the first one listed.
There you go. When I said Oisha
B'chumra,
Oisha was the first one.
And Oisha, no, I don't know if it's the same. I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's put it aside for now. Oisha B'chumra, Halavai Oisha by everyone. Okay. So we have over here, The Gemara tells of a story of one of the Amoraim who was looking to find. He went into the vegetable store, not the fruit store, the vegetable store, and was sampling all the vegetables to find the one that is the most bitter, Meridus. And the his friend said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" It says Chazal told us Chazeres. Chazeres is the ideal form of maror. And then the Gemara goes, oh, but the Gemara is the question, but Chazeres is not bitter. It depends on its state of development. When Chazeres begins to form, it seems like you can harvest it earlier or later. If you harvest it earlier, it's sweet. There are two Mamari Chazal. One just says that it's bland, and the other says that it's mamish. I think in the Yerushalmi it says that it's mosuk. It's sweet. And only if you let it remain in the ground for a prolonged period of time does it become bitter. And the Gemara says it's exactly the point. Because when we went down to Egypt, the first years in Egypt, it was sweet. We'll give you the Meitav Haaretz. Paro said to Yaakov and his children, you're coming down here during the famine, Mituv Aretz, the best. It was a sweet life. The earlier years in Goshen, it was a sweet life for the Jewish people in the early years of Egypt. But little by little, the sweetness went away. It got a little frustrating, and ultimately, Vayimoruru es chayehem ba'avoda kasha. And in Mela, this vegetable, this mysterious vegetable called Chazeres, perfectly parallels this principle, is that of the story of Exodus, that in the beginning it was sweet, and then ultimately vayumores chayim b'avoyde kasha. So this amoyra and the Gemara is, oh, I didn't know. I thought the goal is that it should be as bitter as possible, and that's why I was sampling all the vegetables in the vegetable store to find the bitter and I'm assuming it has to be fit into the category of one of the five things listed. It seems like the five things listed in the Gemara are broad categories, and there are many different vegetables that fall in that category. You have to go talk to the experts who understand all of these things of what exactly is nichlal in the certain categories. Okay. And now that you tell me, oh, therefore I'm going to use Chazeres. The Gemara in Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim say, even if it's very expensive, you should pursue where possible to seek out Chazeres. If you can't get Chazeres, or there are problems like we know Tolaim, bugs, infested with bugs, or these issues, okay. So then you go to the next best, the next one, then comes the question. So what comes next? Do we go to number two on the list, Tamcha? Or do we go to number three on the list, which is Ulshin, which we assume to be his endives?
Well, the bug-free ones that we have in Borval hydroponics, the Gush Katif.
Gush Katif was hydroponics.
Just because it's enclosed.
All right, whatever. These are all big dilemmas. All right, so basically, the Gemara is very clear, And Shulchan Aruch is very clear, and the Rishonim are very clear, is that ideally, under ideal circumstances, the proper vegetable to use for moror is chazeres. Okay, what is chazeres? So now we got to go to all of the experts who go into chazeres, and I even look at Wikipedia. It's very good. Halachicpedia. It's very, very good. Very good. Very thorough. So what is chazeres? Not so clear. It is accepted ruba de ruba by most of Klal Yisrael that chazeres is romaine lettuce. Now, lettuce is a very broad category, and there are many different types of lettuce. It seems that the most popular, safe assumption is that chazeres is romaine lettuce. What about iceberg lettuce? So it's also pretty widely acceptable that iceberg lettuce is a close cousin or grandchild, yeah?
Rabbi Zechariah Nebrach, his fiancé is Tamara, he told me that Gedalia Shua's brother told him that the reason why most people don't use iceberg lettuce is because the root of it is grafted. It's grafted from cabbage.
So it's not real. It's not a real. So what about cabbage? Let's say you would use cabbage. Would you be yoytze? Is a cabbage chazeres? Okay, and we don't know. There are a lot of mysteries. Okay, we don't know. It used to be back in the day that iceberg lettuce was very popular. Years ago, iceberg lettuce, because romaine lettuce was either not available, bugs. Iceberg lettuce. Yeah. Okay. It seems it was very popular. Whatever it is, it seems that there's an acceptance that all lettuce is quarried from the same place, from the Kisei HaKavod. All lettuce, iceberg lettuce, romaine lettuce, there are other varieties I'm not familiar with. And b'dieved, there's an assumption, there's an acceptance that chazeres is a catch-all phrase for a vegetable that has the qualities of what we in our language call lettuce, whether it's romaine lettuce, whether it's iceberg lettuce, or there are other varieties. I don't know how cabbage really is any different. It's all part of the same. You bring in an expert who understands these things, how they grow, where they come from, the makoros. Okay, whatever it is, but it is very common today because it's very readily available today, and today the kashrus agencies are on top of it, and there are websites and upon websites which tell you how to check, and there are light boxes, and if you don't want to do it, there are all different organizations that will gladly take all of your money to do it for you and to give you hechsherim. All go to the, if you don't go into any one of the Pesach stores, and you will very quickly learn about all of your options when it comes to romaine lettuce. So Baruch Hashem, achshrei dara, and that's what appears to be today accepted as chazeres. Now, there is a problem though. The Chazon Ish, it seems, was not a big fan of romaine lettuce. Why? Either he held that romaine lettuce is not chazeres. There's something we're missing over here. And then he had another big issue. He held that if the lettuce, you do not detect bitterness, a tinge of bitterness in the lettuce that you are eating, whether it's iceberg, romaine lettuce, or cab, whatever you're eating, you're not yoytze.
Eat closer to the stalk.
The Chazon Ish held that the word maror means bitterness. And that means that when you eat the maror, you have to taste the bitterness. And if you don't taste the bitterness, this is a das yochid, this is not accepted. There are a lot of things that the Chazon Ish are not accepted as prathul halacha, but it makes people think, and lahagil teru lahadira, he held that if you don't detect a time of bitterness in your lettuce, lo yotza. The Velt asked the obvious question, excuse me, the Gemara Masech Pesachim, which talks about lettuce, tells us the Maisa with one of the Amoroyim. He went into the store and he was looking for a bitter herb, a bitter vegetable that would fit into the category of mar. And he was looking for, and at the end he met his friend. What are you doing? It doesn't have to be bitter. In fact, the Yerushalmi explicitly states ma chazeres. Chosa. What is chazeres? Chosa. What is chosa? Lettuce, or whatever. Oh, but it's mosuk. It's sweet. Yeah. That's exactly the goal. Just like when we came down to Mitzrayim, it was a good life for the Jewish people for the first couple of years until later it turned bitter. That's exactly why we want you to eat lettuce, because lettuce is indeed sweet. So how could the Chazon Ish say that if you cannot detect a time of bitterness in your lettuce, you're not yoytze? The Gemara says that it's mosuk. So the Chazon Ish says, no, when it says mosuk and bitter, it's not referring to your palate. It's referring to its growth, that you can harvest celery, lettuce, at many stages. You can take the lettuce out of the ground in a very early state, or you can let it remain in the earth past its due date, and let it just sit there for a longer period of time, and then you take it out of the ground, it tastes bitter. So it does not mean when the Gemara says that just like Yushab, that it starts off mosuk and turns bitter, it doesn't mean that when you eat it, you should eat it in a premature state of development when it's sweet. No, you should be makbid to allow the lettuce that you're going to eat, the chazeres you're going to eat for the mitzvah of Marar, to remain in the ground past its due date. So it gets bitter and bitter and bitter. So when you now take it out of the ground past its maturity and you bring it to the Pesach Seder and you bite into it, oh, this is bitter lettuce.
Put Marar into the romaine lettuce.
No, that doesn't make it. That's not your yoytze. That you have to be eating kazayis of the Marar itself. This is what the Chazon Ish. Now, what the Chazon Ish says is not accepted as halacha by the common man. Because the common romaine lettuce that we have, if you take a poll, most people will tell you they do not detect even a tinge of bitterness in romaine lettuce that we are commonly served.
But we don't.
Most people don't get that close to the stalk. The common man does not make an issue whatsoever. They taste them. Oh, it tastes good. It's delicious. Lettuce. It's healthy. Salad. It tastes delicious. Most people doesn't even register. Isn't this supposed to taste bitter? They don't register. Oh, and you'll put them up against the wall. So if they're a Talmud Chacham, they'll tell you, Yushalmi. Yushalmi says that it's sweet. It turns bitter later. Yeah, when does it turn bitter? I don't know. I guess if I leave it in the refrigerator for another week. No, it's not going to turn bitter in the refrigerator for another week. It means that if you let it sit in the ground for another couple of weeks, then it will turn bitter. And that's good enough. We're taking the min of lettuce. This is the common approach to the halacha, which is puk chazi ma amadvar. This is what the Vel does. The Chazon Ish is a chiddush, is a chumrah, and that is why itaka, to go find bitter lettuce, is taka not so available out there. And therefore, is a cottage industry because of this issue, and there's another issue with lettuce. There's some very nervous people out there who don't trust anyone in the kashrus agency to remove the bugs or to test for the bugs, and they tell you they're camouflaged and you don't know what you're doing and you need a light box, and many people don't even know how to turn on a computer. If they don't know how to turn on a computer, you expect them to be able to go figure out how to go find the bugs in the lettuce, and all you need to tell them is that there are bugs in the lettuce and they're camouflaged, and you're over on 5 loisaseis for every bug that you eat. So multiply that by the thousands of invisible bugs that you're eating for your big kazesim. You know something? I am not going to be eating lettuce at my Pesach Seder. So what do they then do? What's the next best bet? Tamcha. Okay, what's tamcha? Chrein. It is accepted you'll always find people that disagree, but it is accepted 98% that the translation, the modern day translation for tamcha, is horseradish. Now, it does seem though that our horseradish we have today is not the same horseradish that they had 200-300 years ago. Because everyone seems to mention that if you're going to eat horseradish for your morah, so it's tamcha, it's on the list. You can't fight, the Gemara, it's tamcha, it's on the list. Horseradish. And in fact, tamcha has a milah that it's mentioned in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Tanachum Yoyos Rabbeinu says, Al matzois umirorim yochluhu. The Targum Yonis and Menuzil says, what is al patirin, which is matzah, v'tamcha. So it's now, I got too lazy to look at what does it say, morar, matzah, what does it, uncle say? What does uncle say? What is called, what is morar? I think he just says morar. He doesn't translate what it is. He doesn't really, no one really wants to translate the word morar. So we're left to the Gemara that gives us five different examples. But the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, he stuck out his neck for us in one place, and he said, Al matzais umirorim, he translates the word mirorim, tamcha. Oh, tamcha. Very good. So it's, and what is tamcha? It is assumed that it's been passed down throughout the generations that tamcha is horseradish. Now, horseradish that you buy today on the market indeed is very bitter. But it does seem that years ago, in a different generation, it wasn't as bitter as it is today. L'may nafkamina. If years ago, this is what all the Pisans say, if you take the horseradish and you chew it raw, can you really do that? Can you really chew a horseradish? Can you really chew it?
I've seen my brother-in-law bite into a piece of
urgent care center. What?
It took about 20 minutes for him to recover.
Okay, so it seems that's not the way it was. It seems that for some reason, which I don't know anything, it was bitter. If you would take a piece of horse, like bark, it looks like a tree, a piece of wood. No one eats it that way. But if you would eat it raw, the way it is, like a piece of wood, then it's bitter. But once you grind it, you pulverize it like they do today. You go to a kid. It's horseradish, right? Once you pulverize it, it's no longer bitter. It seems that years ago, I don't know where they were sourcing their horseradish from. It was bitter when you eat it raw. But once you grind it and you pulverize it, very quickly the bitterness dissipates. And then when you eat it, there's no longer a bitterness. It has to be, we're dealing with a different variety of horseradish, because today it's totally not relevant.
It goes straight into the Ziploc bag, right? Yes. Out of the grinder.
Right.
You open it up by the Seder.
It's bitter as can be.
Right.
Horseradish.
Unless you let it breathe a minute or two, right. But it will.
Our horseradish. Okay, so it seems that years ago there was a very big problem with horseradish. These are the achronim we're dealing over here, 200-300 years ago, and they're basically saying it's monafshach. To eat it raw, it's shloik derech achila. So you know yoytze. To grind it, it loses the bitterness. You can't even taste the bitterness. So what are you gaining over here? Why is this a valid? There's something wrong. They're taking that. There's something wrong with the whole.
Why you go back to your lattice? It's from the mill.
Oh no, that's Chazeres. It only says that by Chazeres.
You could go by the
Svarim, yeah.
Why Svarim say that? And Rabbi Shulchan Aruch says that 100%. Once you start the seder, you want to cover the chrein. You're allowed to have it
to dissipate it.
And the reason is because it shouldn't be so sharp.
Right, so it dissipates. But it seems that it was so weak to begin with that by the time you get to eat it, there's no bitterness.
That's not your business. That's not, if the Shulchan Aruch told you that you're not going to cover it, that's it.
Maybe it means that before the Seder began, already was gone. I'm not making this up. Again, it's not relevant today, because today our chrein is extremely bitter and you don't have any of these problems.
Some years
I don't know, but by the time, let's be safe and let's assume that we're dealing with a type of chrein that by the time the Seder begins, by the time the Seder begins, let's just make it simple then, by the time the Seder began, it's already too late. It's already gone. So what are you accomplishing? So therefore, that's not a perfect thing to eat. So endives, ulshin, that's third on the list. So today, there are three different varieties of morar. Okay, three varieties. there are people that are going to be eating romaine lettuce. What is lettuce? The popular understanding is romaine lettuce. And there are many that will say that's just lettuce is a big category. Chosa, it's a big category. You can go have any lettuce, iceberg lettuce. Oh, but it's not bitter. Who says it has to be bitter? Then there are those that don't want to eat lettuce because, number one, like chazonish, they want epis to taste the tam meridus, and you're not going to have that with romaine lettuce today and with a regular lettuce for sure not. And then there are definitely kashrus issues of toiloyim. So what do they choose? They choose horseradish. Horseradish can be a sakana for some people. Tita kazayas of horseradish, not everyone is in perfect health that wants to play games and eat a kazayas of horseradish. Kazayas is a nice amount. Fill up an entire schnapps cup of raw ground horseradish. It's not necessarily the most healthy thing for the average person. Yeah.
Later in his life, he wasn't allowed to eat grain. The doctor forbid him to eat grain. So he picked up the grain by the insanity. He made a bracha. By the end of the bracha, he said, Shem, Shem, Sosin, Svano.
On your health.
Yeah, to watch your health.
To watch your health. Someone wanted to make that bracha and they took the vaccine. Okay, so, you ready with the Shem Malchus? It's a chiddush. And then there are those who have endives. Okay, what's wrong with that? Nothing is wrong. Hydroponics. It might be hydroponics. So everyone has their brain. The most interesting thing that I saw is that there are those, I don't have everything in front of me, is that for moror, they have chosa, romaine lettuce. But for koirech, the makbid, to put as a sandwich, horseradish. Why? Because being that the pasuk that we quote when we eat, and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel here translates the word morer only in this pasuk as tamcha. So since Yimamish, you're quoting that pasuk, and there's a Targum Yonasan ben Uziel that tells you that the translation of moror for that pasuk is tamcha, which is horseradish. So here the moror is horseradish. For the regular moror, the Gemara says explicitly that a person should be choizer on chazer, like a play on the word. Should be choizer. That the best moror in the list without question, it's inside in Shulchanoch, you should do your very best and pay a lot of money to acquire chazeres, which we accept to be romaine lettuce. Okay? For the mitzvah, Bizman Azed Rabban Asher, Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Sevet Sivanu Al Achilas Moror Chazeres.
What does that
passage
refer to?
Pesach Sheni. That passage, Amasim Rom Yochlu?
No, when you say Al Achilas Ma'asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Sevet Sivanu, where's the passage for that?
Did Moror?
Right after Matzah.
Kocha Yoichlu so I don't know where the pasuk is. I don't know. I have to find you the pasuk. I can't quote. I don't know. No, it says moror. It just says the word moror. Same word. It doesn't say the word. Doesn't say the word tamcha. In the regular mitzvah of moror. The Targum Yonasan by that one. Maybe he says that also. But we quote in the. There's a general question. Why are we quoting a pasuk from Pesach Sheni, not from Pesach Rishon, from moror? So doesn't there's an answer. There are good answers. It doesn't say it exactly the way it says it. Whatever the reason is, but the Gemara explicitly tells us that you should seek out a chazeres. That is the best. So if you're not worried about the bugs and you're not following the chazonish, maybe someone can make a lot of money. How come you never saw in Pomegranate or any of the advertisements in Mishpacha magazine? Come to our store. We have romaine lettuce that's bitter. It's a great business. You'll be a millionaire overnight. You can be a millionaire. How come no one came up with that idea? There must be a reason. What? I would if I had. If I would make some money, you make a mint.
steak.
You'll make a million bucks.
Less bitter taste.
Really? How come you didn't see? I saw such bizarre things you can't even begin to imagine. Bizarre things. How come I didn't see this yet? Romaine lettuce that is actually bitter. You make a killing. That's the lefi
l'chazonish.
No, not just gourmet salt water. Gourmet salt water with made by a chef, special chef who knows exactly how to make. We have Himalayan salt, Celtic salt, Himalayan, a blend of all of the best exotic salts in the world, handpicked. See, we have Ramesh, you know, with some. Okay, let's start joking. I'm out of time.
My wife wasted an hour yesterday. She went for a in Kingsway. They had a class, Horosis around the world. You know, the way of
okay, no, that there's a lot to that. That's also that's a lot. You know, yeah, there's a lot to it. What you put in, apples, there's a lot of Torah on that. There's a lot of Torah on that. That's not a double poshrad. There's a very big thing. Haroses is a very big thing. How to make haroses. Okay, but over here, we're dealing over with Mars. The bottom line is we have over here different varieties. The Chazal said that ideally a person should seek after chazeres. And then, therefore, it is very, very common to use romaine lettuce. But for koyreich, here, being that we're quoting a pasuk, and the Targum Yonason says it's tamcha, and let me add one important point, me'ikar hadin, you do not need a kizayis of maror for koyreich. It's only a zeichel le'mikdash, just a small amount. You take matzah, and the matzah, the sheer kizayis for koyreich is not the sheer deraisa. It's a much smaller shear. The shear of matzah, a shear of matzah for korech is a much smaller shear. And there are many opinions that hold that you do not need a kezayis of maror. To zeichel migdash, a small amount of maror. The mela, a little horseradish is not going to do you any harm. Just a teeny mashu, a small amount of horseradish. And the mele, when you say the pascal matzos umirorim yochluhu, you're being makayim the zechel mikdash with maror, and you also the translation of the targum yonasan uzil is being thrown into the mix, so you get the best of both worlds. It's a very interesting mimic of having both for maror the brocha. You do what it says in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch chazeres. Two times,
no.
Two different times. Samar, okay. This is one of the nyanim amar. Okay, it's already 12 o'clock. All right, let me just share with you. Okay, one quick thing. Rabbi say. Okay, Rabbi Naiman. One thing really 12 o'clock. Just very, very quickly is the Tanai of the Avni Nezer. Very, very quickly. Everyone knows this. The Chatzos is approximately 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, 1:10, whatever it is, about 1 o'clock. So there is a Minig Yisrael, the Afikoyman is Keneged. What is the Keneged? It is Keneged, the Zecher le Korban Pesach. When is the cutoff point of the Korban Pesach? Chatzos. So just like you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, Pes Chatzos, according to Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah says you may not eat the Korban Pesach pes chatzos. Memela, the afikoyman that is a zecher for the Pesach, you don't eat pes chatzos. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says you can eat the Korban Pesach until alois hashachar. How do we paskin? We paskin seemingly like Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah. So that's why the minig is to try to finish the afikoyman before chatzos. What happens if you can't do so? So there's a minig, if some people do this, is if I can't, is what you do is, you eat the afi, that is another issue we have to remember, and this is only a minhag. It's that you're not allowed to eat anything after the Korban Pesach. Why? That the tam of the Korban Pesach should remain in your mouth. And that's only true for the Korban Pesach, but being that the afi koyman is zeichel Korban Pesach, so we follow the same exact rule. So what do people do? The famous Tanai of the Avni Nezer is that a person sees he's not going to make it, so he should stop the Seder right then and there and eat a kezayis of matzah zecher for the Afikoyman lefi the shita of Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah. And then after he eats the Afikoyman, he waits. He waits until Chatzos. So now you're mekayim that you're leaving over the flavor of matzah which is the Korban Pesach, until the end zman, which is Chatzais. And then, you continue your Seder, and when you finish the Seder, you eat another Kezayis Matzah, and this is going to be Lefi the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, if you can eat the Korban Pesach, until Aloy Sashach. Poskim said there are a lot of problems with this Avni Nezer. Okay, is this really a practical thing to do? One of the things that the Poskim say is, if you want to do this, don't make any conditions. Don't do it the way the Avni Nezer says to do it. First of all, there's a very big problem, in general, a very big issue with the Avni Nezer is that the Rosh says explicitly, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that lichatchila you should zrize makdim in the mitzvahs, you should eat the afikomen before chatzais. It's not that Rabbi Akiva, it's lichatchila you can eat the afikomen until Lois HaShachar. And Rabbi Akiva Nazari says, only until chatzais. Even Rabbi Akiva, kidei laharchik odam min ho'avera, you're not allowed to eat the afikomen past chatzais. Even Rabbi Akiva, the Rosh says this beferish. So what are you accomplishing? You can have a leisurely Seder, and you can eat the afikomen after chatzais, because you're going to follow Rabbi Akiva. Excuse me, Rabbi Akiva himself would not eat. Rabbi Akiva himself would not eat the afikomen after chatzais. Because Rabbi Akiva says, the Rosh explains to Rabbi Akiva, that's only b'diavet. L'chatchil, it's no different than Kriya Shema. T'la'archik oda min ho'avera. You're not supposed to eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos. And if the matzah is zeich the Korban Pesach, so even Rabbi Akiva holds. So what are you doing over here? Oh, we're going to do like this. We're going to stop. We're going to eat this. You're not allowed to do the Korban. How come the Olam is Mekel? The Semech on the Rambam. The Rambam does not seem to say. The Rambam seems to be of the understanding that Rabbi Akiva holds that lichatchila you can eat all the way until Eloyis HaShachar. But not the Rosh. The Rosh explicitly says, k'dei laharchik adam min ho'avera. Number two is that people who make this tonight, they should not make this tonight. Oh, you can do it. Because if you make the tonight, what do you say? If the halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm yoytze. And if the halach is like Rabbi Akiva, I'm going to eat another kezayis. It's not true. Why should you deny yourself Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds also that if you eat the afikomen before chatzos, and then after chatzos, you eat, you drink, and you eat, and you have shulchan aruch, you also yoytze. B'diavet. So the people that make the Tanai, what they're really doing is they're making a statement, I don't want to be Yoytze Lefi Rabbi Akiva. You should never do that. The bottom line is, if a person eats Afikoymen, Pesach, before Chatzos, and then Chatzos comes, and you eat more food, are you Yoytze Lefi Rabbi Akiva? Of course you Yoytze. It's just that you did something not proper and you ate something after chatzos. But you yoytze. Rabbi Akiva holds that eating food after chatzos does not take away from you the kiyum hamitzvah of Korban Pesach. You're supposed to remain with the flavor of the Korban Pesach until Alois HaShachar. But if you can't control yourself and you ate the Korban Pesach and then you sat down and you had some kosher Pesach Stern's cake. You yoytze. So the people who are making the Tanai, what are they doing? They are saying, I'm eating now the kezayis lefi the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and not lefi the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Why would you want to do that? You yoytze also according to the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Just you do it again in order to, you know, to have the time of the Korban of Pesach remain till the very, very end. It's not kedai to make the Tanai orally. You can do the Tanai, you can practice it, but don't say the words, I'm only being mekayim the mitzvah lefi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because it's not true. You're being mekayim the mitzvah also lefi the shita Rabbi Akiva. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, in time of the Mishnah at night, how did they know when Chatzos was?
Somehow the stars, I guess. They looked at the stars. They looked at the stars. They knew. It says that David HaMelech wake up Chatzos Laila. They knew. They had a much greater sense of time. We live in a modern world, so it's a different. They knew. They knew. They knew. They had techniques that were probably way more advanced than our techniques. They had a sense of, we never tried. I try. I go to sleep at night and I want to wake up. Let's say I want to wake up at 5:35. It really works. And before I go to sleep, I think tomorrow. And I go 5:35, 5:35, 5:35, 5:35, and I go to sleep without an alarm clock, 5:35. Now, do I go back to sleep afterwards? That's another question. But at 5:35, my eyes open up. How does it work? I'm no great shakes. I'm just an average Joe. It works. The mind has an internal clock. Okay, so this is the issues. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue bleeding there. I'm going to say also cash. I also have to say cash over today. On the Kasher, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakei Tesh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tzimtzum Mitzvah Shenemar, Adibei Chofetz Mantz and Ko Yagdil Tel Avi Adir, Yiskadal Yiskadash Shmei Rabba, Yolam Adi Rachir Yisrael, Yam Lech Malchu Say, Bechai Yichoyin, Yom Yichoyin, Bechai 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 Yichoyin,
Right.